Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Right now, the drive is live.
Yeah, it is, and I'm going to tell you, that was a pretty good tease, but I'm not much into teasing. I'm into touching, so I need everybody to come on out here, man. 99-59, we are at Buffalo Wild Wings. Got a couple giveaways today. We're going to give away a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card. We're going to give away a couple of Bud Light pop-up cornhole boards as well, so come on out, get you a couple of drinks and some good grub here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm sure the Bud Light girls will be here a little later on. And we got a Papa Shot going on over here. Is that actually throwing footballs through the holes there as well? So come on out and hang out with us. Today's show is locked and loaded. We got Danny Cannell talk a little college football coming up at 3 o'clock. You want to stay plugged into that. He's one of my favorite, one of the best in the game when it comes to college football. Also, we got D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud will both meet with the media, and we will bring those press conferences to you in full right here on Sports Radio 610. So make sure you stay plugged in. Both of those will occur, I believe, in the 2 o'clock hour, one in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll bring them to you as soon as we get them on the mic. So we'll get that thing locked in. Ron the Show Ugly is out again today, and my man Brandon Scott is in. B. Scott, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm living good. Always a good time to come out to New Caney. Like you mentioned, in your childhood it looked one way. In my early adulthood, when I lived out in Conroe and did a lot of Montgomery County work, I find myself out here. And even, man, since then, it has developed. It is a good time to be out here. We were out here together last year, around this time, early on in the season. Always a good time to come out here, man. So I'm living good. I told you before we started the show, the closer we get to game day, and it's a little bit prolonged this week. We got a Monday night game, a late Monday night game, as opposed to our normal Sunday noon kickoff. But I'm just as excited as I normally would be on a Thursday, ready to get to it, man. Got a lot to get to.
Absolutely, man. By the way, if for anybody out there that's, you know, I don't know, I'd say 35 and up, if I don't care if it was in Grangerland, if you, your grandmother, grandfather, somebody that meant something to you, lived on a dirt road,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't get on a bicycle and ride as fast as you can and slam on the brakes and see how long you could make that line and piss them off, as really scare them. Now that I'm a father, I realize I was scaring the hell out of Granny instead of pissing her off. But boy, if you didn't do that, you don't know what you missed.
Oh, man, everything that I learned, whether it was a dirt bike, a regular bike, driving an actual vehicle, was all on a dirt road. Similar to this, you know, my mother's side of the family is from the Beaumont area, but in the sticks, north of Beaumont and Silsby. And I imagine that New Caney around that time looked a lot how Silsby, I would say, looks to this day. It's looked the same since my mama grew up in the 60s and 70s. But, yeah, man, I can certainly identify and relate, man. A good time that rural living, man,
That's
sure.
right. Buffalo Wild Wings, 59-99 up in New Caney. Come on through and hang out with us. B. Scott, yesterday I framed a question, and I know it was good because, one, we had some good conversation around it, but, two, Larry and Stafford called in and called me crazy. We framed the question as, you know, is this the last chance for Texans fans to buy into this iteration of the Texans. And I'm not putting – the question wasn't necessarily framed around this one game in a vacuum is going to make you make your mind up. But you don't perform well, or you have some of the same warts that you had prior to Tennessee in this game and you come up short. I do think there is a, hey, you're 0-4 against quality football teams and you've got two wins against cellar dwellers. I think the mood around this organization is definitely going to change and has to change. But yesterday I framed it as, you know, is this the last chance for you to buy in? And today I'm asking it a little different way. Is this a must-win game for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, because I would – if I had to answer your question from yesterday, I would say no, not necessarily. But your question today – and that question was, again, is this the last chance to buy in? I think it is a chance. I don't think it's necessarily the last chance because we are still that early on in the season. But with that said, with your follow-up question today, how we're leading the show off, is this a must-win? I got a tough time saying that it ain't. Like, to me, it absolutely is for a number of reasons. One, you want to see the team play well, and normally if they play well, it means that they win the game. That's not necessarily the case, but normally if they play well, they'll win the game, and so you want to feel better about your team and the morale, the momentum, however you want to characterize it or frame it, that you took into the bye week, you'd like to carry out of it, certainly. But I would say just in terms of math, Clint, I don't feel like the Texans are in a position – and then me kind of speaking from their lens or on their behalf or however you want to look at that, I don't feel like we're in a position to not have a must-win game if you're a couple of games behind the teams in your division. You just started playing good football recently. I got to look at it as a must-win. Now, is it one that, like, you automatically chalk up and say, yeah, they should win this game? No, we're breaking down the matchup. We see all of the problems that Seattle poses for the Texans. But just in terms of the numbers game, you already being, but like, think about it. Indianapolis is 5-1, bro. They're 5-1, okay? Seattle just beat Jacksonville and did you a favor last week. They're 4-2. But think about it. The benefit of this game being on a Monday night, late Monday night at that, is that all of the other AFC South teams will have played on Sunday. And so the true answer to this question will be answered on Sunday, depending on what Jacksonville is able to do against the Rams, and I'm trying to remember who Indianapolis has, but they're on the road, I believe, as well.
Chargers.
The Chargers. There you go. They're on the road against the Chargers. So if they win, God forbid, they win those games, and they're winnable games for both of them, it's absolutely a must-win game. Now, if they lose, they do you some favors. And you could say, hey, well, if we play good, play well, then we feel good about the team and feel good about the direction. But where we sit right now on a Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, I gotta say it's a must-win game. You gotta go get it. You gotta have it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a must-win game, and I know people like Larry called in yesterday. It's an NFC game, for crying out loud. It's early in the year. Yeah, I get it. Look, but I mean I've been on a 2-4 team in the NFL. That ain't no place to be. I mean the dynamic changes. Like the D'Amico Ryans faces a new challenge. Right, a different challenge that we haven't seen him necessarily tackle at this level, you know. And obviously, if D'Amico's approach to the team changes, and obviously everybody below him, their approach to football changes as well. And look, when I say changes, I mean all of a sudden you got to convince guys that what you're doing is right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're in the back, like in the background, like right now we're tearing Nick Caley apart and this offense apart and every, you know, being stuck on every word that D'Amico says. Well, all of a sudden, boy, the team gets stuck on 2-4 is painful now.
Yeah.
And to your point, you look at what Indianapolis is doing. They've got the Chargers and they got the Titans. The Chargers are beat up. And if you look at the Chargers schedule, they've won a couple of games, but the schedule isn't real challenging. So, to be honest with you, Indianapolis, unless Indianapolis is just a fluke to this point, the odds are they're going to win both them damn games. So you're looking at a 7-1 football team right there at the top of the division. And I don't know how long you can continue to go, well, we're just going to be patient. We're not going to worry about what's going on around us. We're going to be patient. I feel like this is a game that they dug a hole, and now all of a sudden this game is one that I believe you got to have.
Well, and if you lose the game, think about this. If you lose the game, how much pressure does that put on that three-game home streak? Right on that three-game homestand that you're on after this game, when you get the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Jaguars, I think where we sit right now, you don't feel like you necessarily got to sweep all three of those games. You'd love to, right? You'll take every win that you can get. But as we sit here now, we don't necessarily feel like they got to sweep all three of those games. You lose this game, and now, like, you're just running out of time. You're running out of leeway, out of runway when you talk about being behind and what you're facing. And then, as you mentioned, what the teams around you are facing, the uphill battle becomes that much more uphill if you lose this game.
Isn't it wild, man, what one game can do?
Yeah.
I mean, what literally one game – and I know there's a bunch of everybody relax folks out there. That's I mean, to me, that's one of them. Like, it might work out for you if you spell relax, but the odds are it ain't. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's crazy. You go to Seattle in primetime, and literally, I believe this is a game where if the Texans can win this game, I believe that people start talking about them again in a real contender, moving in the right direction. Maybe not Super Bowl, but definitely playoffs lookout.
Yeah.
If you lose this game, I believe people start questioning D'Amico at the top, Nick Caserio at the top, definitely C.J. Stroud. And I think the conversations get really ugly around the Texans, in a sense of, has D'Amico and Nick failed C.J. Stroud after his rookie year with this offensive coordinator shuffle? So, and I only paint the picture to say, you go from, hey, man, get ready for them playoffs, baby. You got a three-game home stretch here that we can get back on the right side of this thing, too. Holy cow, man, is this thing going to last?
Yeah, not only do I think it's a must-win game, which it is, I do believe that, but even aside from that, must-win game or not, it's absolutely a narrative shifter.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's a narrative shift. You go out there on Monday Night Football, the late Monday Night Football game at that. Now, I know they're doing that doubleheader Monday Night thing again.
Ooh, but this going to hurt you, boy, on that postgame show.
This is the late. I know, man. I feel for y'all, man, to be honest. But this is one of those where if you play well, you have a marquee game on a marquee stage.
No question.
It does a lot of what you're talking about and shifting the narrative about C.J. Stroud and his team and whether they're contenders and all of that. They do the opposite. And they go out there and lay an egg. And now it's like, oh, well, the Texans aren't for real. Kind of same old AFC South, you know, or shifting the focus of the AFC South to be squarely on the Indianapolis Colts, the cool story that is Daniel Jones and how everybody wants to fixate on that. Looking at them in Jacksonville and the Texans being on the outside looking in, not just from a numbers perspective, but in the whole conversation and how they're viewed. So I think a lot of it has to do with not just them winning the game, but how they look. Like, I think they could look good, lose the game, and we still be a little bit hopeful about the direction of the team.
Sure. I agree.
That could certainly happen. But they could also go out there, lay an egg, lose the game by a lot, or not look very competitive, get dominated up front, these types of things that we are concerned about, and then completely erase themselves from the relevant conversations in football. Now, it's going to be up to them to shift the narrative.
Yeah.
Like, they actually got to go out there and do it. But I think it is a narrative shifter for sure.
I'll be honest with you where I'm at with it. I think if the Texans go play, like, if what we've seen versus these two cellar dwellers, the Baltimore Ravens and the Titans, if we see the offense, like, that product, and maybe even in a little lesser shape because the Seattle defense is that real, but if you see that approach and you see them have stay ahead of the chains, if they're able to run the football at all, I think they win the game.
Yeah.
Like, I think this team is really, really tough to beat with that defense, with C.J. Stroud, with when you're getting Nico Collins, getting these other guys involved. If they're able to spread the ball around and get five or six receivers catches against this defense, they are going to be a very, very tough team to beat. I don't care if it is in Seattle and in a crazy environment in the Northwest. I don't care about that. So I'm really under that belief, to be honest with you, is – If what we've watched offensively transitions to Monday Night Football at all, I think the Texans win the game.
Well, you mentioned running the football. I mean, if they're able to do that, they've cracked the code.
Yeah.
Because most teams have not been able to do that against the Seattle Seahawks, not to mention the fact that they get after the passer without necessarily bringing extra pressure. Like, they're not blitzing. They're bringing three. They're bringing four. Yeah. Go back and look at that game against the Jaguars, man. They're sacking Trevor Lawrence on the first play of the game, man. And the first play of the game, second play of the game, Trevor's able to get out of it, they flush the pocket. He gets out of it, gains a couple of yards, but it's a holding penalty, which tells you how much disruption there was up front.
Absolutely.
They flush the pocket. Trevor gets out of it, but they still go backwards, man. And we're talking about the first two plays of the game. That's the type of front that you're looking at, and we're talking about their pass rush. If you're able to run the football, and Jacksonville didn't have a great time doing that, nobody really has against Seattle, I feel like you've cracked the code. And more likely than not, I'm with you. You have put yourself in a position, at least, to win the game.
That's Brandon Scott. You can find his work all over Sports Radio 610, all over SportsRadio610.com. And we're in here for the long haul. We'll be here 2 to 6. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Right there where 59 goes over 99, or does 99 actually go over the top? I don't know. I got turned around coming in here. But either way it goes, if you can get to 59-99, you can't miss us, baby. Come on through and hang with us. The Rockets, y'all. The Rockets, they lost their point guard, Fred VanVleet. And the question is might the Rockets, Fred VanVleet injury be a blessing in disguise? We'll discuss next right here on Sports.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Radio 610.
Anybody in here acting like no bitches?
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live in New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out and hang out. If you're in the building, we're giving away a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card right here. Put your name in a raffle. There's also a couple of pop-up cornhole boards there, courtesy of Bud Light right there, that we'll be giving away during the show today. And so make sure you put your name in the raffle and get you a cold beer, get you a cold drink, get you some grub, and let's have us a good day. We got D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud coming up in full presser coming up in the show here. We got Danny Cannell again, another one of the best college analysts out there. He is joining the show as well. And y'all, Tyler Milner, he's on a heater. Now, this is an early tease because we got a ways to go before we get to best bets. But it looked like that off day he had was just off the beaten path, because he got right back on that perfect train.
Man, shout out
last
to you,
night.
T-Mill. Shout out to you in them pockets, man. Anybody that's riding them bets, man.
Appreciate you, boys.
Feeling good, huh?
Yeah, man. Just a brief, quick break away from the perfection.
right back to it last night. It's what I like to see. You know?
Hey, you don't. You never stray too far from protection. Perfection.
so many ways I can take that.
Hey, hopefully neither.
Hopefully.
If you're wise, don't stray too far away from neither one. Team
perfection or protection.
I mean, Red said it best, man.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
There it is. There you go, Red. Tell them about it. But
there you go.
All right, hey, the Rockets. The Rockets played two nights ago. They beat up on the Pelicans 130-128. I thought that was a really good outing for the Rockets. They're treating that game and this game coming up tonight as a little dress rehearsal for the regular season, meaning that the starters, whoever that may be, is going to play a little deeper into the game, I believe, than a typical preseason game. That's tonight at Atlanta. The Rockets go at Atlanta, 6:30 p.m. ESPN2, as well as the normal local channel, right?
That's right, Space City Home Network.
Yep, Space City Home Network, and which I'm a Space City Home Network guy, by the way. I stay local. I don't typically go ESPN2, but and tonight we'll see another. Apparently, we're going to see another dress rehearsal. So the starters are. At least the plan is that the starters are going to play a little deeper in the game. So for all of us fans out there, if you want to peek at a little NBA preseason action, you're at least going to get the real deal, the real product, the real Rockets product there for. Into the second half, and the question that I asked going into that tease, B. Scott, was obviously in regards to the Rockets losing their point guard, veteran point guard Fred VanVleet, and kind of to be honest with you, I was hot and cold on Fred VanVleet last year, obviously, but then when he lights it up in the playoffs, when you need him the most, he steps up and lights it up. It's hard to not want that guy to be part of what you got going on. Moving forward, unfortunately, we have no choice. There's a season-ending injury, so Fred VanVleet is not going to be with the Rockets. So now when we look at the Rockets, I think Reg mentioned it in the crosstalk. You've mentioned it a couple times. We talked about it yesterday with Luke. There's really no true point guard, at least that's going to get significant play-in time, or at this point in time, it's going to take significant development from one guy in particular to become that guy. But when I look at the Rockets team, and again, I'll be transparent. Last year, I was not the biggest fan of Fred VanVleet. I love him as a weapon and as a veteran to stable the waters if and when them youngsters got loose. But I didn't like him in big, big doses until I saw what he did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I look at this team, and I got a question for you. Is it me, or does it seem like the ceiling for this team if – Amen Thompson takes the next step, if Jabari Smith takes the next step, if Şengün takes the next step, and I'm not talking monster steps being MVPs like Carmelo Anthony was talking about Şengün. I'm just talking about the next step, the next natural step that young good players take. Is the ceiling higher for this team without Fred VanVleet on the floor?
Yeah, so that's why I liked how you positioned the conversation or how you phrased the question of blessing in disguise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like in disguise is doing a lot of work there on your question, right? You know what I mean? Because it is in disguise. I feel like the Rockets are – I'm not going to say that they're better without Fred VanVleet because he does bring so much to the table.
Yep.
And I don't want to discount his role or what his contribution is to the team. It's important, and it is a major blow to lose him for the season, to be sure and to be clear about it. But – the in disguise part, and when you ask specifically about their ceiling, I think Fred VanVleet raises their floor because there are certain things that you can expect from the Rockets when he's on the floor. There are certain things that you can expect to be kind of more organized and in order with him on the floor, and that I think gives you a certain floor as a team, right? It helps you a great
especially deal. With so many youngsters playing last year anyway.
But you did an important thing there when you said, hey, if these guys take that next step, which I think everybody's expecting them to do, and honestly, they're going to have to sink or swim. A lot is going to be required, a lot more, I should say, is going to be required of guys like Amen Thompson and Reed Shepherd, specifically in this role that we're talking about when it comes to ball handling and making decisions with the basketball. A lot more is going to be required of those two guys that we just mentioned, and Alperen Şengün on top of that in kind of a different capacity, a different sort of role in the way that it looks. But to me, if you get what you're expecting out of those guys, your ceiling, never mind your floor for a second, because we saw what that looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
Your ceiling is much, much higher because those guys are much more higher impact potential guys on the team. So if Amen Thompson, whatever his potential is this year, whether that's, you know, a repeat of all NBA defensive guy, if that's becoming an all-star or becoming an all-NBA guy himself, like I think Figgy was mentioning in the previous show, like all of those things I feel like raise the Rocket ceiling and put them in a different conversation as a basketball team. So I don't know about it being an actual blessing, but a blessing in disguise, because you're relying more on these guys and you're asking them to step up and you feel like they're the ones that are actually able to do so. Yeah, I would say that it is a blessing in disguise because you can get that out of those guys.
Yeah, look, I mean, I look at it, man, and I just feel like at the end of the year, right, because you got the regular season, I feel like at the end of the year with no Fred VanVleet throughout the season, you are without a doubt going to have a better version of Amen Thompson. You're going to have a better – I mean, just those guys are a year older. They're a year wiser. Now, all of a sudden, KD's in the mix. What is he – you know, what new heights can he take those individuals to? And then you get to the playoffs. I think you put it perfectly. I think you put it perfectly with the thought of the floor is significantly higher, because that's really where mentally where I'm at is I feel pretty good about the floor when he's out there. But the truth be told, the ceiling is really low. Let me think about last year in the playoffs. I mean, if he doesn't just catch fire and light, and I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not taking anything away from him at all.
No, he did a great job.
But if he doesn't just, I mean, light up, I mean, just get hotter than all get out, I mean, that's a rough watch.
And then where does that get you? How good of a team can you actually be? And I understand Fred VanVleet was a key part of a championship team. He made some big shots, had some big games with Toronto, six years ago, however long ago that was. But to me, and really, honestly, a criticism of the Rockets over the last couple of years with Fred VanVleet has been that they are overly reliant on Fred VanVleet. Well, now, obviously, as we've laid out, that is not an option. They can now, I think the concern is, are they going to be overly reliant on Kevin Durant?
Yeah. Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDRO.com, code FIT.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Durant, something happens to him because he's old. Are they going to be overly relying on Alperen Şengün? I think it's a blessing in disguise from the standpoint of it's going to force them to not be so overly reliant on one particular player the way that they have been with Fred VanVleet, whether people realize it or not. Because when he didn't play, they were lost.
Yep.
And that's not where you want to be.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see what that looks like, man. It's obviously going to take some guys developing, and we will talk about that. Two number three overall picks need to perform and need to develop, need to perform, need to take the next step. One of them needs to take multiple steps, but we'll break that down later in the show as well. Look, the Texans brass leans real hard into their process, focusing on their process, and D'Amico Ryans did so, leaned into that in his post or in his presser earlier in the week. Is this a game where that might get them in trouble? Might that approach get them in trouble? I'll explain next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in, and we are Buffalo Wild Wings, not just on 59, not just in New Caney, but right there where 59 and 99 hit. You can't miss us now. Come on through and hang. We've got a couple of giveaways today, and right here with my man Shay. He'll take care of you. But obviously they got great food, big-time deals here from Buffalo Wild Wings. And I believe the Bud Light girls will be here at some point in time with a couple of cold beers,
there you go.
If you know what I mean. We got Danny Cannell coming up at 3 o'clock. Again, talk about college football with one of the best in the game. And bear with us. We are waiting. The Texans, they are not on our schedule. D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud will be meeting with the media today.
It's my decision.
That's right. I know, D'Amico. We are all sitting around on your schedule, bub. As soon as we get them, you will hear them. So just bear with us. Right now, I do want to go to something that D'Amico said last time he met with the media. D'Amico was asked about, you know, does he pay attention to what's going on around him? Mm-hmm. The other teams in the division, the division Jacksonville and Indianapolis, obviously with a better record and with the potential of running away with the division even this early. He was asked about that, and here's what D'Amico had to say.
That doesn't creep into my mind at all about where the other AFC teams are, what their record is. It's still early in the season. Right? A lot of teams had a lot of really good starts to the season, but we all know, and that's our focus, is all about how you finish the season. It's all about how your team grows throughout the season. Just because you have a great start doesn't mean it's going to be a great finish. It's just continuing to work, control what you can control, and you truly focus on one game at a time. That's all that matters. Can't focus on what the other teams are doing, the outcome of their games. It really doesn't matter, right? It has nothing to do with how you go and play, how you go and prepare. You don't do anything different because other teams are where they are record-wise. It's truly focusing on us and getting better.
I love my coach having that mentality, obviously, right? I mean, anything other than that, you would worry about, man, how confident is he in what they're doing? I do wonder. I think this is the hardest, the most difficult thing, challenge, if you will, for the Texans this year is you've already dug a little bit of a hole,
yep.
Right? And if we're taking this approach of the process over results kind of deal, you know, the question is how long do we keep this song and dance up? Right? And by the way, I want D'Amico Ryans to say what he said. I just wonder at what point in the season do you start worrying about, hey, man, Indianapolis is the best team in the AFC right now. Indianapolis got a chance to run away with this thing. Our dynamic changes a bit. And here's where I want to go with it, B. Scott, is I think obviously it's a big challenge. If you dig a hole, digging your way out of it, is it takes a lot more energy and effort than if you play good ball consistently, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing for me, when I take that and bring it to this Seattle game, You know, they are big, worry about us, worry about our process, do your job kind of squad. And when I watch what they've done against lesser opponents, which is run the football, establish the run, protect the quarterback, the penalties have been down. We've talked about it multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, I do wonder, B. Scott, in this light of when you are so committed to a process and believing you can do something one way and you run up against a good opponent, not having a plan to counterpunch.
Yeah.
Not having a plan to that's what I worry about with a young offensive coordinator in Nick Caley in a game like this, is being so, like what D'Amico said, just put the blinders on and you worry about us. Well, if the plan is, and we've heard D'Amico talk about it, if the plan is, hey, you put the blinders on and worry about us, and we're going to go run the football, and we're going to go, you know, protect the quarterback, and we're going to go play penalty free. Well, what's going to happen if that doesn't? Because what we've seen is that doesn't always go according to plan.
Yeah, so it is interesting how differently we're all approaching sort of the same subject here, because D'Amico, where D'Amico's coming from it and from where we're coming from it is two totally different places. Like he kind of has to be one track minded in this way. That's why it's interesting, the dynamic. And it was Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle who asked that question. Hey, do y'all take any comfort in what's going on around you, or does that help you kind of in your approach? I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's a lot for media, fans, pundits to kind of do the math, kind of what we were just doing, talking about whether it's a must-win game earlier in the show. That's kind of for us, especially early on in the season. For them, they do have to be one-track-minded in this way, especially early on in the season. Like, I would have a tough time believing what D'Amico is saying there if he was to say that, let's say, in week 12, 13, 14, after you got a lot of the evidence, a lot of the record has been had, and it does become much more of a numbers game than it is earlier on in the season. But, yeah, man, I think that is as far as, like, the process over results. But, like, we're still in that phase. And I think that this game going into Monday night is going to be a big indication of that, or an indicator of that, of, like, and I think I mentioned this to y'all before the show, but I'm real intrigued by the chess match. Never mind what happens on Sunday before this game, mind you, but the chess match between D'Amico Ryans and Clint Kubiak. Yep. The chess match between a first-year offensive coordinator in Nick Caley and an experienced defensive guy in Mike McDonald, right? Like, out of the play callers, out of the offensive and defensive minds in this game, if you're from Houston, you do have the least experienced and least accomplished of them all, right? Like, Mike McDonald's done enough to get that job. D'Amico Ryans has his pelts on the wall, right? Yep. Clint Kubiak is a well-respected, and certainly what they've done up leading up to this point kind of gives you a good sense for what they're about. Obviously, the last couple of games have looked good on Nick Caley's part. I thought last game was a really good Nick Caley game, but he's the most unproven guy. They got to focus on the process and figuring out themselves and all of that, kind of figuring out their exact identity.
Yeah.
I think that's important for them and where they're coming from, even if for us, we're looking at it like, hey, man, you got to win this game. Hey, man, if you lose this game and the other teams win, it's like I said earlier, it's all that more of an uphill battle.
Yeah, the interesting part of it to me is the – are we – you know, when I say interesting, the concern, let's be honest, what it is Nick Caley's youth and an experience of, boy, 2 weeks in a row we had some success, so we're going to go in here guns a-blazing on with that same – and not have – like in this game, for instance, I tell you, in this game, I don't believe that there's going to be six guys catching balls. I believe you're going to lean heavily into Nico Collins.
Yeah.
And if the plan going is we're going to run this football, we're going to establish the run, we're going to spread it around, we're going to let wherever the read takes us, the progression takes us, who's going to get touches. There better be some kind of part of that process right now. Better be, hey man, There's a Nico package where we move him around and do some different things. Well, with him. That's more of what I'm at. Like, at what point do you start going, hey, we got to do some things a little bit differently?
Yeah.
To make sure. And I'm not saying now's the time. But I'm not saying you won two games in a row. Now's the time to go all in and go full speed ahead with what you've done and see if it translates to Seattle, a better football team. But I'm saying you better have, if that first round of that boxing match don't go well, that process better have some adjustments for you to get Nico the ball.
Well, remember earlier when
Woody Marks the ball, Dalton Schultz the ball, whoever.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz, that's a good example. I think, you know, I think the earlier show in the loop was talking about, I want to say they even led their show with this, about how vulnerable Seattle could be in zone coverage and how Nico Collins, if not the best, certainly one of the best as a zone beater. Yeah. Now, we know he can be a man beater as well. But finding the soft spots in the zone, obviously Dalton Schultz, your top pass-catching tight end, is going to play a major factor into that. Christian Kirk, your slot guy, could play a major factor into that. But in terms of narrative shifting, this is something that I got at earlier on in the show. This is also one, I think, for maybe not shifting, but establishing the narrative for a Nick Caley versus what he came in here to replace. Like, one of the criticisms of Bobby Slowick was, hey, when it was going good, it was going great. But when it was time to adjust, when it was time to do something different, what you thought was working all of a sudden wasn't, you didn't have the answer. And that could very well be what this type of game is, a Nick Caley adjustment game, both from the bye week and game plan and in game. If what you thought was going to work all of a sudden doesn't work in a raucous environment on the road, Seattle, we know kind of what the story is there. How do you adjust in the moment? So seeing what Nick Caley can do in that regard is going to be a big part of this game for me. Observing that, monitoring that, and then how you feel about your offensive coordinator. Yeah. Win or lose after this game is over.
Yeah, win or lose, this is one of them games you get good and excited about, man. This is going to be a real challenge for the Texans. And man, if they can take that step, it's going to be – I mean, you almost forget about them, the 0-3. You almost forget about that if you can take the show on the road and beat a Seattle Seahawks football team that on both sides of the football – is doing some really good things, some of the best in the league on both sides of the football. Let's shift gears real quick. Thinking about there's a game tonight, Thursday night, and I think that to just in watching and listening to everybody talk about this Pittsburgh Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Cincinnati game. Boy, I tell you, it's blatantly obvious. This ain't the worst division in football anymore, is it?
Man,
AFC South thing.
Hey, it's gotta be the North, right?
The Steelers, the Steelers can legit lock up the division tonight. I mean, not obviously by the numbers.
And did you think
they will have a 4-game lead over the entire division if they win tonight?
But think about that. Out of all of the teams, and I guess maybe other than the Browns, it probably would have gone somewhere between like Baltimore, Cincinnati, Steelers, Browns. Baltimore's probably the team that you were expecting.
Yeah.
But them falling to the bottom has really flipped this division upside down, because don't none of the other teams really feel like they got it together.
Yeah.
And for the Steelers, led by Aaron Rodgers, to feel like the most stable team of them all, when that was probably one of the ones that you had the most questions about, like you probably didn't have much faith in the Browns anyway, because they were doing some kind of weird thing with the quarterback position, right?
Right.
But out of the other teams, the other three teams, you're like, oh, okay, well, if Joe Burrow's healthy, we got to take the Bengals seriously. Oh, the Ravens are the Ravens, so of course we're going to take them serious. For it to be the Steelers out of that group, to be the one to emerge, yeah, man, it's one of the surprise. Well, I would say one of the surprises of the NFL season so far would have to be how underwhelming the AFC North is and how good the AFC South has turned out to be, especially with Daniel Jones and that story that's happening in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Astros division seems to have gotten better. The Texans division seems to have gotten better. Maybe it looks like them days of surviving in a weak division may have come to an end. At least it appears it has here with the Texans for damn sure.
The North, how about this, Clint? Only the Steelers have a winning record. Okay, so they're leading the division with a 4-1 record. Everybody else got a losing record in that division.
Yep.
They're the only team in the division. Now, the Texans have a losing record too, but they also have a positive point differential because they blew out some bad teams. The Steelers are the only team in the AFC North with even a positive point differential.
Yeah.
Everybody else is negative 50, negative 64, negative 80. Like, it is poo-poo over there in AFC North.
Well, I knew, obviously you lose Lamar, you're not going to be that good of a football team. You lose, or not as good a football team. You lose Joe Burrow. I mean, two of the best quarterbacks that the game has right now have gone out. But good gosh, to fall to a point where literally Pittsburgh can be 4 games up in the division.
Yeah. Right now, in the South, it seems like the only for sure bad team is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And then they're the only team with a negative point differential along that same line.
That's the case.
In the North, the only good team apparently is – a possible good team is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll dig a little deeper into that Thursday night football matchup tonight. I think those two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks going head-to-head. Mike Tomlin, obviously on one side you got crazy athletes, the wide receiver position. The other side you got DK Metcalf and company. And so – That's going to be a fun game, a funner game than I think the records would tell you. All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus, y'all. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. All right, y'all, it's time. One of the best college football analysts in the game, Danny Kanell. He joins us next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.